Welcome to Christ Today. A few years ago, we heard people discussing the book of Revelation and the 666 number and what was going on. Every year, we have a different subject that is talked about extensively. Lately, there have been people who have talked about the Antichrist coming on the scene very soon. And some people are even saying that, is Trump the Antichrist? After all, he suffered a head wound. And so people talk and people wonder. And there are people who say, of course, Trump is not, because he likes women. And that's one of the conditions of the Antichrist. So the other part about Trump is he has professed Jesus as his Lord. And so we have the things going on, questions, as people look at the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and wonder about what is going on. Will the Antichrist come out of the Middle East? Will the Antichrist be a Muslim? And there are good reasons to look at all of these things. But do we know what the Bible truth is? Well, we do know what the Bible says, and we try to put it together in ways that we can all understand. The parallels that are going on, spiritually, politically, biblically, and yes, in the world today, what is going on? There are Bible commentaries who say one thing and are another, and they like to comment, of course. They say, well, are the horsemen galloping right now? Are we in the middle of the apocalypse or the book of Revelation? Now, the horsemen are in Revelation chapter 6. And in chapter 6, it talks about the Lamb opening the seals. And there was thunder. And then there were the beasts. And behold, a white horse and a rider with a bow to conquer. And then there was another horse, a red horse, to take peace from the earth, to kill one another. And next was a black horse, where the rider had a pair of balances in his hands, which might be to trade, to buy and sell, or it might be more spiritual. And so we get to try to figure out what the different books of the Bible say, understand it. We might try to figure out the difference between eternal life or life on earth and death. It's a lot of things that pastors and preachers talk about. But we do have some of the things that are talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and of course the book of Revelation for what's going on, where, for instance, with food, there will be wheat and barley in the book of Revelation there. And then there is a pale horse that comes along, and him that sat on the pale horse was death. The pale horse gets a lot of attention because death is coming all around. Oh, but there is another reason to look at the horseman again. And that is, as we look at that pale horse, there are people who say in the Greek, there is no word for pale. There is instead a word that is also described as green. So will there be a green horse coming along? And that has people talking. As just a few years ago, people talked about the green horse and green being the color that represents Islam. That is the well-recognized color of Islam. And so we have more people raising more questions about what the book of Revelation is talking about and what our future holds. Of course, we are concerned about the spread of death, and all these things, they do concern us. But after that, the fifth seal was opened, and he saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So we have these things going on in the book of Revelation. Is that now or is that future? And oh, we certainly have opinions on both directions. Is it now or is it in the future or is it both? Well, chapter 6 continues and it talks about a great earthquake. And the commentaries describe that great big earthquake as splitting the surfaces of the earth in a big way. And then after that, the stars fell to earth. And then the heaven parted as a scroll. And don't you know we have commentators again who say when this happens, we just wonder if it is because a nuclear bomb has gone off. So we have people with opinions, lots of opinions, but we don't have to worry too much about the opinions. Just remember that there are going to be some big events coming along. And certainly there will be death coming along. And will we be able to stand? Or will we even want to instead go to heaven? Well, we have things going on that we can seek understanding about and pray about. But we do see the events all around us. And there are a lot of people with lots of opinions, and they have some pretty good reasoning to try to figure out what would go on. Well, I do enjoy hearing all the ideas, but for me, I just get comfortable with the idea that Scripture tells us about what is coming, and we have only a limited ability to completely understand it. In fact, we really don't understand it completely. But we sure do get the idea. Trouble is coming, and we want to belong to the Lord during that time. And we want to make sure that our future is in heaven. So, however we interpret whatever it is, and there are people who interpret just plenty. You know, sometimes we are given exact parts of the Bible, like the exact number of days. But still, we still try to interpret that or ask people what it really means to have so many days or so many months. Well, let us remember to ask God's Holy Spirit to guide us in the truth of the gospel truth. I think that's the best thing we do. And, oh yes, I've listened to men for a long time. I've listened to lots of preaching, been to lots of Bible studies, and there are lots of ideas. But I think we just have to go back to Scripture all the time and try to figure out what the events are that are coming or what is going on right now in these days. It's pretty hard to look forward, though, to get a good understanding of what is coming. Mostly, I think, we can read the prophecy and look backwards and say, oh yes, now I understand. Prophecy is true. It's obvious when we look back, but not so obvious when we look forward. You can look at what was written 2,000 years ago, and the observations that we understand get to be pretty obvious, but we might not have a good understanding of what's going to happen in just a few years. Because it's hard to look forward with the things that are not specifically said. And even if they are specifically said, we ask for people to interpret our understanding. Well, the Bible shows us from that we have God from the very beginning to the very end. And he knew the very end, from the beginning of time. That is God. That is Isaiah 46:10 that says, God knew the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, God knew what was still to come. Well, the Bible has a lot to it. And I have looked at the Bible just plenty, like lots of people have, and we do have cautions for understanding what is going to happen and what is really and truly factually about prophecy. Well, it takes a few years to have a good understanding, a good grasp of prophecy in the Bible. It took me a few years, and then I realized, hey, it's all true. And then I had to become a Christ follower. That was 25 years ago. And here I am, still following Christ. But we still have trouble on our little journey. I know we have things happen every day where we can choose to go one way or another. And are we going to choose life with Jesus, or are we going to choose the things of this world as we go through these days and even the last days? Now, when I say last days, it's pretty well agreed that the last days mean after Jesus walked the earth and died on the cross. That makes these the last days in the last 2,000 years. Well, we are trying to understand it, and we still do not understand it perfectly, but we have a lot of understanding. The thoughts come into our mind, and we try to understand. I think about we are in the last days, but the time keeps getting shorter till the end. And so I think of these last days as being the last seconds before the return of Jesus Christ and the determination of our spending eternity in heaven or in hell. And that's something that we still have to care about people and tell them about the good news of the gospel so that they have the chance to accept and follow Jesus Christ. It seems like there are people that have one attitude or another of either following Christ or following the world. And we see them all around us. That is just plain ever so frequent. But we do have to warn people that to do what they want or what everybody wants will lead us to the highway to hell, so to speak. And we want to go on that narrow path that gets us to heaven. And so let's live what we want and what we believe. And let's do that now so we have a chance to prove our belief as we live. And we want to do that before we die. We want to tell people about Jesus before they die. And there's so many people who just follow their own momentary wants. And we get to decide what we are going to do, and that determines our eternal future. We have consequences. And of course, the eternal consequences are heaven or hell. But the consequences as we go through life are also consequences. And if we behave good according to God or badly according to the world, we get consequences in life. I do think of Matthew 6:14, which reminds us that we are to forgive others. Let's see. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so we do want to have a forgiving nature about us. We've done with wisdom, of course, because we don't like it when we get hurt. And sometimes we forgive people and they hurt us again. So we want to do wisdom as we go through life. Well, this is thought of as trespasses, that we forgive people their trespasses. And I have heard people say we forgive people their sins. But there's a passage in Luke 5:21 that says only God can forgive sins. And I've come to believe that we forgive trespasses, but not sins. Okay, I urge everybody to have a look at all of the scripture and get a good grasp of what God says to us. Well, we are in a position of having things go on in our life as we deal with people, and we ought to be wise and protect ourselves and our hearts and our minds from the things that are just plain evil around us about people that want to actually hurt us. And we also want to take a stand to protect the innocent around us from people that would hurt them. So sometimes it takes a lot of thinking to try to figure out how you are going to do it, how I am going to do it, because each of us has a brain and we can figure things out, especially if we study the Bible and have the examples right before us. So we figure things out and try to figure out how to protect our mind and our feelings and protect the innocent also. Well, I was just thinking about a couple I knew 30 years ago, and for some reason they were friendly with me and they told me about the situation that they were facing, where there was a man who had really financially hurt them. They did a lot of legal damage to that couple. And like I said, that was 30 years ago, and I thought they were decent people. I still do, but we have a matter of, are we following God or not? I was thinking about forgiveness, and that's why I bring this up, is because, it's hard to say. They had hired somebody to break the kneecaps of this man that had hurt them so bad. And do I know that that actually happened? And all I know is they told me they did it. And so we have people who really, are they forgiving or are they not forgiving? Well, the Father forgive them their trespasses if they didn't forgive. Well, I'm not the judge, but I think about these things and I wonder about them. And I know that I want to be a forgiving people, a forgiving person. And it's not always the easiest thing because people hurt people. And we all seem to hurt each other. And I do think about that Matthew chapter 7 that talks about the narrow path that leads to life and the wide highway that leads to destruction, which is, I don't know anybody who doesn't say it's hell, but we can talk about many things. I just say that we want to guard our mind and our heart and use the right words as we go through life. And a part of that is to forgiving other people of their trespasses, because we do want to get to heaven and God tells us how to get to heaven. There are a lot of people who give us advice along the way too. Yeah, I have heard so much advice by everybody, by people, by pastors, like I said, by everybody. And they tell us that, well, what was in your heart, whatever they tell you, it's just you have to search it out, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and as you read the Bible and understand what it says. So I've had people tell me, what it really means is if sin becomes your nature, then you're a sinner. I've had other people tell me, well, if you spoke the words, it's a sin, and that it was a lie. So is that a lie? Is that a sin? Is it the attitude of sin? Well, I'm not the judge, and I don't know that the other people that I've talked to about such things could be a judge either. All I know is that God has holiness as his perfection, and we want to be holy and be suitable to fit into God's heaven. So let us confess one to another what our trespasses are. Well, we all have shortcomings and failures. Yeah, I had one about a week ago. Oh, I hate to admit this, but I did. It was so bad, so bad. And so we repent and we have determined in our heart and our mind to never do something again. Well, that was just a week ago. I had a man come up to the front door. He was probably about 30, and he just laid his bicycle down on the driveway, came, knocked on the door, and said, can I come in? Oh, I wondered why he would say that to me. Maybe he saw a Jesus sticker on my car. I don't know. But he asked if he could come in, and I said no. And then he asked, are you a Christian? And I said no. Oh, and immediately my heart hurt. I hurt so bad because I said that. And so he then just got on his bike and rode away. But I thought, here, what did I do? What did I say? And the thoughts were swimming in my head. What did I just do? Did I just deny God? It sure felt like it. Was I a Christian? I said no, because I just felt he wanted something right then and right there, and I was in the midst of doing something. Oh, yes, that's right, and I'd been having a toothache. I never have toothaches, but I had one that day. And so I just was not in a mood to entertain or talk to anybody. So, of course, I thought of Scripture. I thought of Matthew 10:33, where it says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who art in heaven. And oh, that hurt my heart. Oh, that hurt my heart. What did I say to that man? Well, I certainly resolved that I would never say that again, that I would be faithful to God and declare God as my Lord and my Savior through Jesus Christ. And whatever the circumstances were in the future, that is what I would do. So I just tell you about this as an example of how easy it is to say something that we don't mean. And we are to correct and rebuke and encourage ourselves and others. And yeah, that's 2 Timothy 4:2. To in season and out, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. So here I was, and I said those words that will affect me greatly. They do, obviously. And I wondered, how could I have done that? How could I have said what I said? It was a lie. And most importantly, I said that I was not a Christian. How could I have done that? Oh, what a big, huge failure that was on my part. Well, I just use this as an example for anyone who can hear this, because we all have moments and we don't want to fail our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's kind of a warning. Don't do what I did. Make sure that you have in mind what you would do if you were ever asked the question. Well, after this happened, I know that I would not do it again. I would find a way to make it right. And sure, I did not feel like having that man come into my house, but then it went to, was I a Christian? And so I just warn you for how you might handle things in your future, and make sure that your head and your heart are really true to your beliefs. Oh, yes, and I thought about people who were asked if they were a Christian in the Middle East. There's been plenty of people who have been asked if they were Christians. And if they said yes, they were taken out of the house and shot on the spot. That has happened plenty of times in the Middle East. And there were people who were beheaded if they said that they were a Christian. The typical sword that is used is called the Sword of Damocles. And it has that little bow in it. Oh, you might have seen it on a logo. It could have been an Islamic logo, or it could have been on a Shriner's logo. And on that Shriner's logo, they have that curved sword of Damocles that is very effective at removing heads from the body. So anyway, there are things that we do have to think about as we go through life and figure out what we're going to say and what we're going to do. And I pray that I never again say anything that would make me refuse my Lord and Savior. But I've heard of people who, in the Holocaust, in World War II, they had said that they were not a Jew so that they could live another day. Are you a Jew? If you're a Jew, come with me. You are going to the concentration camp. You are going to the death camp. Of course, they didn't know all that part. All they knew is they were going to be taken away and separated, and they learned that they were going to go on a train in a cattle car, and they would wind up at an internment camp or a death camp. And so many people, millions, were killed. So we have things to examine and figure out, what are we going to do? I mean, there are traditions, and it's wise to look at tradition. Tradition about that sword of Damocles and what it really means. I just mentioned the Shriners, and I mentioned the Islamists, and there's something about the Shriners that I just have questions about, because they wear that little red hat, and it's called a fez, and it symbolizes the blood of the unbelievers that the cap is dipped in, and then they wear it to all their events. See, there are things that go on in the world that are so obvious to the people who are a part of it, but we, people in the world, we just don't see it. We just are surprised that there are really people who would think about dipping their cap in the blood of the infidels and then wearing that red cap. Well, how real is it? Well, if it's a symbolic thing and it's known within the organization, it sounds quite real to me. The beheading of either believers or unbelievers, however you want to call it, is also a reality in this world, and we have to have some understanding of how we will react to things going on around us. And by the way, where will we stand on such a day? If we are asked to deny Jesus Christ, will we deny Jesus and live for another day? Or will we say, no, I am a Christ follower, and you can behead me if you need to, but I won't agree with it. There are just things going on in the whole world with lots of groups. Yes, the Masons. Yes, the Islamists. Yes, the various secret groups like brotherhoods. And they go on. They go on among civic groups and secret organizations. And even in our U.S. military and other military, there are satanic groups that are secret. So, I know I started that little curious journey of looking into secret groups and satanic groups. Oh, when I was in my mid-20s, a lot of people would call me an up-and-coming young man. And basically I was. And anyway, there was a man who wanted me to join a group, a very private, even a secret group. And he told me I would gain friends and have people of influence around me, and I could get comfortably rich if I joined that group of other successful men. And there were important people in that group, lots of military officers, and lots of people really of influence. Well, I just did not like the idea of belonging to a secret group, so after a dozen questions, I said that I was not interested in joining his group. And so I never heard from him or anybody about that group again. I was glad, but the point is it caused me to look into other so-called secret groups and find out how really they worship a different god. And that god is very often a god that is similar to Satan in so many ways. Well, things have turned out just fine in my life. I'm glad I did not join any secret groups. I'm only a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's good. I'm so thrilled and glad for it. Now, I know that things could have been more successful in my life. I know that there could have been riches if I had played my cards right. But you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm so satisfied in that calling. So here I am. Some people would describe me as poor as a church mouse, and in a way it's true, and in a way it isn't. I've had some wonderful, wonderful experiences. And people in the body of Christ have just been wonderful, and you see things go on that are just plain miracles, and how that reinforces our faith. Now, I have heard miracles happen in the satanic groups also, and I'm sure they do. Things that do not naturally happen happened in that group. And so we just have to decide, are you going to be with the evil in the world of Satan? Or are you going to be with the wholesome godliness of Jesus Christ? Do you want heaven or hell in your future? It makes a difference for how you live now and what you agree to. And, of course, we don't want to disappoint our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do. I did. I have done it not that same thing, but I know I've been disappointing before. And so we repent, and we determine never to do that again. Never, ever, ever. So, yes, it hurt my feelings to know that I did that. Very hurt. So I don't want to hurt my Lord, my Savior, ever again. I want to be a happy and satisfied Christ follower and call Jesus my Lord and my Savior and amen. So I've told you about that young man on a bike, and I've told you that I don't want to do it again. And it's a reminder to you to be careful about what you say and what you do, even if you have a toothache, even if there's some questions that you don't want to answer. It's it's just there are is a way to say, yes, Lord, and to do it in a way that you are not lying or sinning. It's just sometime we have to think more than normal. And that's what I wish I had done. So I'm reminding you of what could happen to you and for you to think about it and make a plan so that you're satisfied with what you have done and said. Now, I would boldly say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and perhaps something else would happen. I don't know, but it's okay. And I'm thinking the next thought I have is about Jim Elliot. And when he faced death as a missionary in South America, at that time, on that trip, he said, as he was thinking about the dangers he faced in his life, he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep," which meant his life, "in order to gain what he cannot lose," which meant his eternal life in heaven. So that made a pretty big impression on me once when I read that years ago. Jim Elliot, his wife was Elizabeth Elliot, and she was a missionary in South America, but other countries as well. And her husband, Jim Elliot, was actually martyred, and his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, went on to write a number of inspiring books, which are just wonderful to read if you ever want to. I have known a few missionaries, too. I've been to other countries. I've been to this country. I have talked to missionaries, and what a glorious thing it is to be a missionary. And I'm thinking about, a dozen years ago, I went to Thailand, and a part of that trip was to speak to people in Thailand that were going out to be missionaries in foreign countries. Countries like Burma and Laos and Vietnam and China. And if you were a missionary in those cultures, in those countries, they were not friendly to Christians because they were basically communist countries, and they did not like Christian missionaries at all. And a Christian missionary could easily be sentenced to it could be months or it could be years in a very cold jail. And so there were people going out from their comfortable lives in Thailand to be a Christian missionary in countries that were hostile to them. So I think about missionaries a fair amount, and I think that we all can say a prayer for protection and provision for the ministries, for the missionaries. And also, you are welcome to just make some donation. Donations are so important to the missionaries. Even a small donation makes a difference when they are in a far-off country, to know that somebody cares about them and somebody is loving what they do enough that they give a little donation. So that's a reminder. They do face lots of difficulties. Sometimes they face violence even, and sometimes they just have chaos in their life, either spiritual chaos or physical chaos. And one day we might see that happening here too. I actually don't doubt it. I think for sure we will see physical difficulties here where, yes, we all want peace and safety, just like 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says. Well, it says that there will be cries for peace and safety, but then sudden destruction shall come. Sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail comes upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Well, we might think of the missionaries as that happening too, and we might think of the people in our own country, friends, relatives, just plain people we know, even in our church. That can happen anytime and anywhere where a tribulation or trials will come upon a person. We wonder, will it happen here? And if it happens here, when will it happen here? Well, there are details in the Bible about what is coming and what we can expect. Oh, is it perfectly that way? Yes and no. It is perfectly that way in a way, and in another way, there's a whole lot of room for adjustments one way or another. So here we are looking at life and wondering, what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, do we want to be a missionary? How about a missionary to the big cities of the United States of America? A lot of people need Jesus. A lot of people need Jesus before they die. I know people I have a friendship with, people who are in my very family. They need a relation with Jesus too. And somehow I get to talk to them about that relation with Jesus in a way that they can hopefully accept, understand it, and accept it. Because we are going to have troubles coming along. And, well, the Bible tells us what they are. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21, they all talk about what's coming, famine, earthquakes, and war. So, do we really believe it? Do you believe there's a famine coming? What about earthquakes? What about war and rumors of war? Well, the Bible says that will happen at the end of the age. Are we at the end of the age? If we are at the end of the age, what do you think we should do? If we can be pretty comfortable that the Bible is true and that famine and earthquakes and war is coming, what do you think we should do? Well, God says it's coming. Is it coming to our country? Is it coming to our neighborhood? Is it coming to you and me? Well, we all get to think about it, and if we wait until we actually know it's right on the doorstep, what can you do about it? It takes a little bit of preparation to know that you are sure that you can be prepared for what is coming. And I always say get some of the basics. Water, food, and warmth. Now, there are more than that that you can have to be prepared. I think one of the big things that's important is a sense of community. And of course, physical supplies, provisions are good to have. Some people only think in terms of money. If I have money, I can buy what I need. Well, look at the inflation that is going on right now and that we can expect to come in a great big way. So what do you think we should do? Should we prepare for the troubles that we see is coming? Famine, earthquakes, and war? What would you do if you really believed they were going to be here soon? Do you have to wait until you see the effect of famine and earthquakes and war? Well, if you wait, then it will be very expensive to get what you need because everybody will need it then. So right now, look at what you can get to prepare for the unexpected. And we all know that our financial situation, we wish it were better, but there are a few things that we can do in case there ever would be that gigantic earth-shaking earthquake or the famine that would hit every single country and every single home. What if there were terrorism or a war? What if there was disease? What would you do? Do you have a year to get ready? Do you have a month to get ready? Do you have a decade to get ready? Well, of course, nobody knows. And we expect that everything is going to continue. We will continue to get food the way we get it, that it will not be too expensive to buy. We will expect that we will have water. Oh, and water with a toilet that flushes. We expect that we'll be able to go to the bank and get money and go to the gas station and get gasoline. And we will expect that we can turn our lights on. We expect that our phone will work. All these things we expect to have when we want it. We expect that our credit cards will work. We are expecting that the communication system which allows our credit cards to work will continue to work. But that's not what has happened in countries around the world. In countries around the world, there have been terrorist events that have caused the communication lines to break down. There has been destruction of the electricity and other utilities so that the electricity and the water are unreliable. Some places, the electricity only turns on for a few hours a day. Maybe 3 hours. Maybe 6 hours. And so, we expect our normal life to continue. But that's not how so much of the world lives. They live with failures. They live with terrorism. And we better know that it can happen here because there are people who still hate the United States of America. They hate the God that we serve. And they hate that we have the benefits of food and water and gasoline, groceries, all of it. They want to see this country suffer. In fact, they want what we have. They want it for their own use. So what should we do? Should we try to protect what we have? Should we try to preserve some things in case we need them in a month or a year? Or it would change things so greatly if we did not have electricity or a food supply. Give it some thought. See what you can do to protect things. There are questions, and really, we don't know the true answers. All we know is the problems can be great, and there is something that we can do now to protect the future that we want to have. We want to have things. And so, look at what you might need. You might need a cook stove. You might need firewood. You might need a fireplace. There's anything you could need. Paper and pencil. You could learn some books, get some skills, and whatever there is, I hope you have prayer time with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you have a personal relation with Him that starts with a prayer life, and it continues with obedience to do God's will on earth. And we have a little struggle with that sometime. I described the struggle I had earlier today, in today's broadcast, and so you just want to know that things can happen to you too, and you want to have a wonderful walk on this earth as you go through life. And apparently these are the last days, and so we know that things are going to happen. Are you getting prepared for the just in case? What kind of things could happen? When we talk about war, we are talking about many things, like nuclear weapons. We're talking about there could be ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles that would be used from one part of the world to the other. So that's the reality of war and weapons of war. There are drones that so many people have. They send them in to do something by the hundreds. And they could be used in the United States, too. So if we have a war, I hope that everybody has some potassium iodide. You get the potassium iodide pills, and it preserves your thyroid gland, and your thyroid gland regulates many of the other glands in your body, and it allows your food to digest. So if you don't have a thyroid gland, you're either going to take pills for the rest of your life or you're going to die. So get some potassium iodide pills that will fill up your thyroid gland with good iodine. And that way, when and if there ever gets to be radioactive iodine that would come along in your diet, you won't have it delivered to your thyroid gland, which would then kill your thyroid gland. So there are things we can do. And I think that's one of the big things. If there ever was a nuclear either war incident or a just plain nuclear accident like there was at Fukushima in Japan, you would want to have potassium iodide pills to preserve your thyroid gland. So get some. They're not expensive. It depends on what size you get, how many in a bottle, but they're somewhere between $40 and $80 for a bottle. Depends on exactly what you get, but they are affordable. And if you don't have them, you won't live long if there is a nuclear event. So that's my advice to everybody, because we are on the edge of some pretty serious things happening, and we don't know exactly what. But many of the governments in Europe have already distributed potassium iodide pills to their entire population. They have distributed potassium iodide pills to every house in their country. So it's something that we know other people take seriously, and we could sure look at it too. So what would you do if we didn't have gas and groceries or electricity to pump the gas, to have communications work between the bank and your credit card? What if we didn't have lights to turn on? Now, this is a condition that has happened in many other countries around the world in these days. It is going on. And so we know it could happen here. Drone strikes are going on, where hundreds of drones go out. It might be the little teeny ones, handheld ones, or it could be ones the size of a television. And there are also drones that are the size of a car that go out and they shoot at civilians. I mean, there's all sorts of war things out there that you want to be aware of as to how you protect what you have. And that means having what you need to survive outside of the system. If there was no electricity, if there was no water, if there was no communications, what would you do? What if you couldn't use the computer systems? What if you couldn't access the iPhone things that you get information from? It's something which, if it really got to be a system breakdown, you would not be able to call somebody. You would probably want whistles to communicate with your family. You know, just a plain old simple whistle. Because one toot would mean one thing, two toots would be another, and three toots, I don't know, maybe it's an alarm or a shelter in place. I don't know. But somehow, we cannot expect things to continue as they always have. There are too many questions with electricity, with communications, with supplies and food and water, all these things. So it won't take much to get ready for a surprise now, because everything is available. And it keeps getting more and more expensive with all the inflation that's going on. Yes, but if that's the pattern of things, we had better get things soon. Just get the basic things right now, the basic first aid things. I think of it as triple antibiotic, gauze ointment, and medical tape. That's what I think of, but everybody has their own idea of what medical means. Some people will want a blood pressure monitor. Other people will want to have batteries for whatever their device is, or batteries for their hearing aids. You see, everybody has a different idea, but the point is to think about what you need in advance And then get ready. Everybody has a different idea. So think about it and see what you want to have for the just in case. Because there are things going on in the world and they could happen to anyone. Make sure you have a few of the things that you consider to be essential to your life. I invite you to listen to this broadcast or any other broadcast again on Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. Look for the one that says with John Stephenson, because there's 4 or 5 Christ Todays, and you can hear any past broadcast. I also have a free preparedness list that I hope will give you some ideas about what you might want to have. If you send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, I'll send that back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I do welcome any donations. They are very welcomed and very helpful for me. So God bless you, and think about all these things before the trouble comes upon you and you don't have as many options as you used to. God bless you.